Per Gimel Mishnah Zayin. Hatokea, if a person blows a shofar, Latoch Habar, Al Latoch Hadus, either into a pit, or into a dus is a cistern, Al Latoch HaPitom, or into a pitom. What is a pitom? Pitom is a Chavis Gedola Shalcharis, a giant barrel made out of earthenware. Okay? Im Kol Shofar Shama, if the voice of the shofar is heard, meaning when you're blowing into a pit, or into a cistern, or into a gigantic barrel, there's going to be an echo. So what are you hearing? In kol shofar shama, if you hear the voice of the shofar, and it's clear, lelo irvav kol acher ohad, there's no other mixture of any other, you know, sound there, then yatza, you fulfill your mitzvah of the shofar. But im kol havara shama, if what you're hearing is not the shofar, but it's the echo of the shofar, then lo yatza, you do not fulfill your mitzvah of the kia shofar. Yeah, you have what it's saying over here is that you have to hear the voice of the shofar and not the voice of the echo. And the Gemara explains that the men, that are standing inside the pit or inside the cistern, those men, they for sure are hearing the sound of the shofar, and they're not hearing the echo, and they fulfill their mitzvah. The question is that the people that are standing outside on the edge of the pit, on the edge of the cistern, right? So that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that these people, they have to decide in their minds, they have to have the clarity of mind of, what am I hearing? Is it the sound of the shofar, or is it the sound of the echo? If it's the sound of the shofar, then they fulfill the mitzvah. But if it's the sound of the echo, then they don't fulfill the mitzvah. So people that are standing inside the pit, it's clear that they fulfill their mitzvah, because they're hearing the shofar. But the people that are outside, they have to discern, are they hearing the echo, or are they hearing the actual shofar? Okay, v'chein, similarly, misha ya'over, achorei beis ha'knesses. If a person was walking by a shul, oh, shaya beiso samlech beis ha'knesses, or his house was near the shul, v'shama kol shofar, and he heard the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Or call Megillah. He hears the voice of the Megillah being read on Purim. He hears Megillah's Esther. So now, the question isn't echo or not echo, because if you're walking by a shul, or you're in your house nearby, you hear the actual sound. So what's the question now? The question is that, is he having the intent, the kavana, to fulfill the mitzvah, or is he not? So in kive libo, if he has kavana, he has the intent to fulfill the mitzvah, by walking by the shul, or by living near the shul and hearing the voice of the shofar or the Megillah, then yatza, he fulfills his obligation, because it's not enough just to hear it. That doesn't help. You have to have the intent that I want to fulfill the mitzvah by that one who's blowing the shofar or reading the Megillah. And even though that the tokeya, the actual one that's blowing the shofar, or the korei, the one that's reading the Megillah, he may not have in mind some guy who's outside the shul or in a house nearby to have him in mind when he's, you know, blowing the shofar or reading the Megillah, to have him fulfill the mitzvah alongside him. Still, Shari Lo Rao, he doesn't see him, Lo Yadi, he doesn't know about him, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, since he is the Shliach Tzibor, he's representing the public, Hari Dait Lahoti Kalashom, his das, his knowledge, we assume, and generally, is that he has in mind to fulfill anyone that wants to hear the mitzvah. Not just people that are in the shul, but anybody. So, of course, he has the intent to be motzi, to have in mind anyone that wants to fulfill the mitzvah. But now it's up to the person who's outside the shul to have his intent also. Because it's a catch-22. We need them both on board. If the shliach tzibor, the representative of the shul, which, of course, he has the intent to be motzi everybody, as long as the person who's walking outside the shul or the person living near the shul hears it, if he has the kavana also, then it's good. But if he doesn't have kavanah, the one that's outside, then lo yatzah, he doesn't fulfill his mitzvah. Af al pisha zeshama v'zeshama. You have two people. They're both hearing the Megillah. Zeh kivin libo v'zeh lo kivin libo. One has the kavanah, the intent to fulfill the mitzvah by the one who's performing it, and one doesn't. And that's what it relies on. So it's not just enough to hear a Megillah, to hear a shofar. It's got to be a two-way street. You have to have the intent that you want to fulfill the mitzvah by the one blowing or the one reading the Megillah. And the reader or the blower has to have the intent to be motzi you, and then it works. Okay, Mishnah Ches, and with this we conclude Perek Gimel. And this is really a side point, is because we're talking about Kavana, the intent of the heart, we're going to bring down this Mishnah, which is just really like a story. So here we go.
V'hoya ka'asher yara Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. The pasuk says in Shemot, this is Mishnah Ches, that when the Jews were fighting Amalek, the pasuk says that when Moshe would lift up his hands, they were victorious in battle. But when he lowered his hands, they were being defeated by the Amalekis. So says the Mishnah, the chiyadav shal Moshe osos milchama or shavos milchama, are the hands of Moshe making war victorious or making the Jews fall in battle? What is this? It's his hand, it's the magic button. What happened was he was on top of a mountain, and whenever he lifted up his hands, the Jews were winning the battle. And whenever he put his hands down, they were losing. Until they had two people come along and stand by him. It was Aaron, and I forget the other one, hold up his arms, and his arms didn't get tired because they were holding it the whole time, and they ended up winning the battle. So the Mishnah asks, what's going on over here? Is it his hands that make this magic happen? Alalomarlach is coming to teach you. Kozman show you saw mistaklam klape mala. When the Klal Yisrael is looking towards the heavens, they're looking upwards towards Moshe's arms, looking towards the heavens, umishabdanis libum la'aviyam shbashmaim, and they are being mishabed, they are taking their heart and they are connecting it with their father in heaven. That's how you miskabram, that's when they were winning the battle. But the imlav, when Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were down, right, and then Klal Yisrael weren't focusing up on their father in heaven, so they didn't have the intent to have God help them win the war. So then, how you know for? That's when they were falling in battle. And what we see over here is that it's the intent, it's the kavana, again, that's playing the main role. It wasn't Moshe's hands of pushing a button. It was that when his hands were up, Klal Yisrael looked at Hashem and had kavana and had hope that, yes, Hashem will help us win the battle. But when Moshe's hands were down, then they weren't looking up at Hashem, they weren't having their faith in Hashem, and that's why they were losing. So it's all about the intent. Kiyotze b'dav, another similar story. Ata Omer, the pasuk says in Bamidbar, Aseh lecha saraf v'simo so al neis, v'lekal anashich v'ra'a oso v'chayr. What happened over here was that Klal Yisrael were complaining about the man, and when they were in the desert, that it wasn't good enough for them. And because they were complaining about the man, Hashem punished them and sent a plague, and they were dying like flies. They were dropping like flies. How could you go ahead and complain after I took care of you so well in the Midbar with the man? So there was a plague that went out, and the Jews ran to Moshe and said, we got to stop this. So Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, make for yourself a saraf, a serpent, and it was like an iron serpent, or a copper serpent, and put it on a nace, on a flag, and anyone who's bitten, anyone who has this plague, will see it and will live. So again, the Mishnah asks, v'chi nachash meimiz? Was the serpent killing, or nachash mechai, or the serpent giving life? You look at this iron serpent, like, what's the connection? That when they were looking at the serpent, so they weren't just looking at the serpent, they were looking upwards towards the heavens, and they had their intent in Hashem, the Almighty. So there, when they were looking up at God, they had kavanah, they had hope in God, therefore they were being healed. But when they weren't looking at the serpent, they weren't focusing on God, they weren't connecting with their Creator, and therefore they couldn't get a remedy, and therefore they were falling. So again, it's all about the intent, about the kavanah. Cheresh shota v'katan, the Mishnah continues, a cheresh is a deaf mute. Shota is a fool. A fool is described as a person, haragalasos davar derech shtus, kigona ma'abed ma'ash nosum lo. Like, if you give him something, you give him a golden watch, he throws it into the sea. Or you give him a shirt, he rips up his clothing. He's a fool. He's got no brains. That's a shota. Or katan is a minor. So whether it be a cheresh, a deaf mute, eino shumea ve'eino medaber, he cannot speak or hear. A shota, a fool, who doesn't have his brains all there. The katan or a minor, there's a total separate point. The Mishnah concludes with this concept that ein motzin esarabim yidei chavasim. They cannot help another person fulfill their mitzvah for a mitzvah obligation. For example, if a cheresh, a shota, or a katan wants to blow the shofar, and you are standing near him and you want to fulfill the mitzvah through him, you can't fulfill the mitzvah through him. Why not? Is that klal? Here's the rule. If a person is not obligated in something, he can't help somebody else fulfill the mitzvah through him. Right? An adult male who's 100% normal can go ahead and blow the shofar for another adult male or for anybody, the truth is. Because since he's obligated in the mitzvah, he can help others who's not obligated or is obligated. Doesn't really matter. As long as he's obligated, he can help others fulfill the mitzvah through him. But if he himself is not obligated in the mitzvah,
he could do a mitzvah for himself, but he can't do a mitzvah for others, right? So that's the concept. And that's why generally the man makes Kiddush, and the man makes, you know, Havdalah, and the man blows the shofar, because an adult male could be motzi, anybody, can help anybody fulfill the mitzvah through him. But if it's a minor, or a fool, or a deaf mute, they can only do the mitzvah for themselves. They can't do it and have in mind other people, because since they're not on the same par as other people, and they're not obligated in the mitzvah, so there's no obligation on them. How can they go ahead and help somebody else fulfill a mitzvah, which is obligatory on them, but not on the person who's doing the mitzvah himself? Therefore, of course, they could do these mitzvahs themselves, and they could fulfill the mitzvah through a person who is obligated, like a regular adult male, but they can't do a mitzvah and have in mind somebody else, because they themselves are not obligated in it, and that's the last rule over here. If you're not obligated in it, you can't help somebody else fulfill the mitzvah through you. But if you are obligated in it, then you could help somebody else fulfill a mitzvah through you. And that concludes Mishnah Ches and Perek Gimel.